Go ahead and open your Bibles to Luke 24. And Tanner, I just have to say, congratulations on hanging in there on that one. Bravo. I think I would have threw in the towel. You've only played that song for like the last 12 years or so. So that's good. That gives all of us a lot of encouragement this morning. See you mess up that badly right here in front of us. And hang in there. So we are not only encouraged by your failure, but we are encouraged greatly as well to persevere through difficulty. So thank you for your wonderful example this morning. I really do appreciate that. Luke 24, well, we're just getting warmed up in the first service here for our second service. It's going to be at 9:30. Luke 24, verses 46 through 48 is where I would like for us to spend not only the morning service here, the early morning, but also our 9:30 service. You have a handout that's been given to everyone if you would like to follow along with that this morning. But Luke 24, and we are reading all the gospel accounts of the resurrection this morning. So we've read the first two in this service, and we'll read the next two in the following service. Luke 24, beginning at verse 46, the Word of God says this: "Then he said to them, thus it is written, and thus it was necessary for the Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And you are witnesses of these things." May God bless his word to our hearts this morning. Let's pray again together. Father, I come to you in Jesus' name. Thank you for the resurrected Jesus Christ. And God, because of he lives, we can face tomorrow. Lord, whatever uncertainties there may be before us, even in our present, God, we can have hope and we can have confidence, not because of who we are, but because of who he is. And Lord, I just thank you for your word, every bit of it. And I pray today as we look into this passage of Scripture this morning, early and later, God, that we'd gain in our understanding, knowledge of your word. And Lord, I pray that your word would just equip us that much more to minister as saints of God. And Father, please bless your word now to all of our hearts. Thank you for everyone watching online. Those who can't be with us, we pray you'd bless them and keep them. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so I'm going to talk to you guys today about the third day was necessary from Luke 24, primarily verse 46 in this service. We've been doing Resurrection Sunday for probably since actually about 2010. And I preached through all the gospel accounts really multiple times and looked at various aspects of the resurrection. And something that came to mind this year, because, you know, instead of just preaching the same accounts over and over again, which I did, I feel like, for years, I wanted to try to look at some different things. And the thing that came to mind this year as I was preparing was the third day. Why the third day? Why is this emphasized the way that it is? What's the big deal about it? So I was hoping that as we look at God's Word this morning and consider this aspect, that it will strengthen us a little bit more, educate us some regarding the Word of the Lord, and really equip us for ministry. So the first thing that I want to see or point out to you today is why, when answering the question, why the third day, and your handout says Jesus Christ had to rise from the dead on the third day because, number one, thus it is written. And the New King James reads it in that way in verse 46, "Then he said to them, thus it is written." All right. And he goes on and saying, "Thus it was written, and thus it was necessary for the Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day." All right. So no matter what translation you have, and yours may say something like that he should do this, but the reality is this passage is saying that it was necessary, it was written that it was necessary for him to suffer and to rise, not just rise from the dead. But he says that he must rise on the third day. So, today we see it was written, and if you think about the gospel as we often refer to it in 1 Corinthians 15, the third point of the gospel, third fact of the gospel, is that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. So you see these two lining up here. Thus it is written, okay, ... they must rise from the dead the third day. The gospel, the third point of the gospel in 1 Corinthians 15, he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. So that may be what we need to look at first. Why is it, or where is it, that the scriptures say that Christ would rise on the third day? So first of all, we're going to see this, the sign of Jonah. If y'all could turn me up just a little bit back there in the back, please. The sign of Jonah. So I have the scriptures up here on the screen for you, so you won't have to turn there this morning. But Jonah chapter 1, verse 17. You can see this. The Bible says there, "Now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights." Now there was a time when religious leaders were asking Jesus for a sign. They wanted a sign to prove to them that he is who he says he is, as if he had not done enough to prove that already. But in Matthew chapter 12, verses 39 through 40, it says this, "But he answered and said to them, 'An evil and adulterous generation seeks after a sign, and no sign will be given to it except the sign of the prophet Jonah. For as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of the great fish, so will the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth.'" Okay, so however you interpret this, and some will take this 3 days and three nights and say that the crucifixion of Christ actually happened on a Wednesday, and then, you know, it plays out to, so that he was resurrected on the first day of the week. I'm not going to get into those different views and theories. But what I want to point out to you is that the interpretation of this is 3 days, and that on the third day he would rise again. Okay, so the sign of what would happen to Jesus was given in the prophet Jonah. Have you ever sat back and thought that what happened to Jonah happened to him because of what was going to happen to Christ? You see, what happened to Jesus didn't happen to Jesus because of Jonah, but Jonah occurred because the Son of God was slain before the foundations of the world, and that he was going to come and he was going to die. He was going to be in the grave, and on the third day he was going to rise again. Therefore, the sign was given in the Old Testament to point to what would happen hundreds of years later. So where do we see in the scriptures that it would be the third day? Well, in part we see it in the prophet Jonah. Now, we also see it in another way. We see it in the promise in the prophets. The promise in the prophets. And in particular, and you might be saying, well, racking your brain, saying, where does it say anything about a third day? All right, I have the scripture for you, and I'll put it up on the screen. Again, a little bit for our convenience this morning as we move through this material. But Hosea chapter 6, verses 2 and 3. Think about this. It says, "After 2 days, he will revive us. On the third day, he will raise us up that we may live in his sight. Let us know, let us pursue the knowledge of the Lord. His going forth is established as the morning. He will come to us like the rain, like the latter and the former rain." Well, we may read that and say, yeah, but that says on the third day, he will raise us up. And for many years, I looked at that and I was like, yeah, that doesn't really fit. But then I thought, you know what? It really does sort of fit. Because when Christ was raised from the dead on the third day, that too was our resurrection from the dead. We are buried with Christ in baptism, just as we would be raised with Christ to walk in newness of life. Why is it that we can walk in that newness of life? Because we are not only united with Him in His death, but we are united with Him in His resurrection. And because He lives, we also live. So when we read this passage in Hosea chapter 6, this prophecy that speaks about the third day He will raise us up. Truly, on the third day He did raise us up from the dead because Christ rose again from the dead. And as the latter part of that says, He will come to us like the rain, like the latter and the former rain to the earth. So He has come and He has given us all that we need in Christ. So that's the second thing. The third thing or reason that I would point out to you that it is written is this. It's the timing in the Psalms. The timing in the Psalms. Timing of what? In Psalm 16 verse 10, and then I'll have Acts 2 up here for you as well. Acts 16, 10, it says this, and these are basically the same. One has the Hebrew word Sheol for the place of death or the grave, and the New Testament, Acts 2, has the Greek word, Hades. Here's what it says. For you will not leave my soul in Sheol, nor will you allow your Holy One to see corruption. In Psalm 16, this is Christ speaking to the Father. In Acts 2:27, this is the very first sermon that was preached in the church. And it's at Pentecost. And Peter is using this passage, he's quoting it from Psalm 16, and he says, "For you will not leave my soul in Hades, nor will you allow your Holy One to see corruption." What's he getting at here? To defend the resurrection of Jesus, he's quoting this passage from Psalms, and he's saying here that Christ is saying to the Father, "You will not leave my soul in the place of the dead, in Hades, nor will you allow your Holy One to see corruption." In other words, the word corruption means decay, decomposition. The Son was saying to the Father in Psalm 16, "You will not allow my body to decay in death." Therefore, we will bring the timing into this to say that the reason Christ would rise on the third day was because anything beyond that, His body would have begun to decay. But God would not allow His body to see corruption, to decay. So, why the third day? Why is it important? Why was it necessary for Christ to rise? Well, first of all, thus it is written. Well, let's go to the next point. The next one is this. Why would Christ rise on the third day? Well, secondly, Jesus said so. He said He would. Now, if you remember kind of what we looked at last week, the Synoptic Gospels tell us, all three of the Synoptic Gospels, which y'all know what those are, right? Matthew, Mark, and Luke, right? John is not a synoptic gospel. 90% of John is new information. All right, so in the Synoptic Gospels, Christ predicted three times, that is, in each one of them, He predicted three times His death. In Matthew and Mark, He mentions the resurrection on the third day in all three accounts. So He predicted three times that He would rise the third day. And I'm going to point these out to you. I'm using Mark as an example. In Mark chapter 8, 31 through 32, "The Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and after 3 days rise again." Mark 9, 30 through 32, "The Son of Man is being betrayed into the hands of men and they will kill Him. And after He is killed, He will rise the third day." Mark 10:32-34. And they will mock him and scourge him and spit on him and kill him. And the third day he will rise again. You see, Jesus had to rise on the third day because Jesus said he was going to rise on the third day. And that is exactly when he rose from the dead. And the amazing thing about it, and I'm not throwing stones at them because we would have been the exact same way. Those ladies, the women, when they got up early that morning on the first day of the week and they went to the tomb, they did not go there with anticipation of seeing Jesus alive from the dead. Oh, we can't wait to get there because he said he's going to be alive today. No, they went there to anoint a dead body. But when they went there, they found that stone rolled away. Friends, I will remind you, it was not so that Jesus could get out, but it was so that the world could see that he has risen indeed from the dead, and he is alive forevermore, just like he said that he would do. Now, if you'll take your Bibles, we're in Luke. I want to point out to you this in Luke chapter 24 in the resurrection account, because, and we're going to read this in the second service, but I'll just go ahead and pointed out to you. In Luke 24, at the early part of the chapter, here's what it says in verse 1. Now on the first day of the week, very early in the morning, Luke 24, verse 1, they and certain other women with them came to the tomb bringing the spices which they had prepared. And they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. Then they went in and did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. And it happened as they were greatly perplexed about this, that behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. And as they were afraid and bowed their faces to the earth, they said to them, "Why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. Remember how he spoke to you when he was still in Galilee?" Now notice this in verse 7. "Saying, the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified and the third day rise again." So these angels who were there before the women reminded them of these three accounts that Jesus, these three predictions that Jesus had made of his own resurrection. And they are asking the women about this. Remember how he spoke to you when he was still in Galilee? Remember what? That he would be crucified and the third day rise again. That's exactly what our Lord did. So it's predicted in the Synoptic Gospels, but we also see in the Gospel of John. In chapter 2, verse 19, that he says this. John 2:19, Jesus answered and said to them, "Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up." He was speaking not of the temple, the physical temple that was there in Jerusalem, that mighty temple that had taken about, 46 years to complete by Herod. But he was speaking of the temple of his body, and he said there that if you destroy this temple, I will raise this temple up in 3 days. So Christ had to be raised from the dead, first of all, because it is written that it would be 3 days. Second, he had to be raised from the dead because he said that he would be raised from the dead on the third day. And we gather together this morning remembering the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ from the dead on the third day. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, I'm grateful for your word that so beautifully comments on itself. And Father, I thank you that even in regards to this, the third day, the resurrection of Jesus from the dead on the third day, your word gives us evidence of this, the reason why this had to happen. Lord, it wasn't the second day, it wasn't the fourth day, it wasn't the seventh day, it was the third day. And because of that, God, we have not less confidence in the gospel, but we have more. More to proclaim it, more to stand upon it and not be moved. And Father, I thank you for that. I thank you that you've blessed us in such wonderful ways to know that Jesus is alive, and that we can experience the power of the resurrection in our own lives. I pray, Lord, that today as we go through all of our activities this morning, that you'd be glorified through them. Father, I pray that as we go and share breakfast together here in a moment, Lord, that you'd please bless that food to nourish our bodies. And as we assemble around tables and fellowship with one another, God, may we remember that we can only do that because he is alive. The only reason we would want to do that is because he is alive and that he lives forever. In Jesus' name, amen.